I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of Arab English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of your very favorite Muslim lady. Well, this is Asma, at your service as the host. And in here, we're going to have an amazing episode today. Well, before I start and introduce the guests, I would love to offer my warmest wishes to all the mothers all around the world. Thank you for all of you to be in this fairy world. If the mothers were not in here, then life would have been so dull and so depressing. So thank you. And so, assalamu alaikum, sister. Oh, by the way, today, Sister Shamali is our friend, and she's going to help us with more of women. So welcome to the studio.
Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum to you and to everyone else who's listening to our program.
Of course. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
As the ritual of this program, we would love you to have a very brief introduction about yourself.
I have studied in the seminary for women in Qom for a couple of years. And I'm now a PhD candidate in the field of women's right in Islam in university.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, let's just start it this way. Since you are women's experts, let's put it this way that I have been befriending too many girls who are doing different jobs. And at the same time, they have this responsibility of being a wife and a mother. And then they study, they do jobs, and they can manage it all together. Honestly speaking, when I see them from the outside, I just feel like mesmerized. How could they do it all together? For sure, there's a history to this, women's occupation, how they can do all these multitasking sort of thing, which is so difficult and seems like a drudgery. Let's talk more on that.
You're absolutely right. I don't know if it's actually a good idea to have women juggle between work and household chores, you know, expecting a woman to be a superwoman and, you know, do everything. Well, that's another topic. But with regards to your question of historically talking about women's occupation, we can say that in the 17th century, when the Industrial Revolution was beginning to emerge,
yeah,
and people's lifestyles was changing. Because previously, a person's workplace was very near, you know, nearly situated to his home, his or her home.
Yeah.
And families were extended and they were able to manage all their needs, you know, to meet all their needs within the confinements of their their house,
yeah,
or
yeah,
very near it. Like they had farms or they raised cattle, they grew their own eggs and crops, and they had their own cheese and eggs and fur, and the women stitched their own clothes, like the clothes of the family.
Like they were colonies doing their own things with themselves.
Every family was not exactly completely, but to a large extent, independent of other sectors of the society.
Yeah.
It was like self-sufficient, right?
Exactly.
This continued until cities began to emerge, large cities and factories and industries. And little by little, people were drawn from villages to cities for in search of a better job and, you know, more money. So what happened was that men usually went to occupy these places, and money became a commodity, like money was within the hands of people, and little by little people were saving up more, and being able to purchase property.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
So wealth began to go to the hands of men, whereas before, where families were run by, you know, man and woman within a household and, you know, taking care of their farms.
Simultaneously, yeah.
Yeah, they both did the task of taking care of all the chores. And it wasn't like, hey, I earn the money, I'm the breadwinner, you're staying at home.
Yeah.
They were working together, right? But when men went to factories, women were like mostly looked upon as consumers. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And little by little, a lot of the needs of the family was met outside. For example, someone else made, there was a textile factory, like there was a big farm raising, you know, little by, just like look at our life in this time, where like, even when you want to, like everything that you have is made outside.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. You eat processed cheese, the egg, you get it from outside. You do nothing.
Everything is prepared outside. You have just to earn the money and go get it.
Exactly. And even when one day there is no internet connection and you can't pay online, you're crippled.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. When this happened, women felt that, hey, men are getting in possession of wealth and they're buying property and house and they have no role to play.
Exactly.
And besides this, at the same time, people, you know, like, you know, that in the Greek philosophy, ancient Greek philosophy, there was a big difference between a male and a female. They thought of the male as the one owning intellect, wisdom, and, you know, someone who knows how to make the right decision without having his emotions involved in, like, the decision-making process, whereas the woman was considered to be the emotional one, and you have to see what, like,
really, the destroyers, based on their mythologies.
Exactly.
Women are the Pandora's box.
Yeah, and there were so many negative words I've heard from, like, the ancient Greek philosophers, where they say women are evil. All the evil inclinations in the world,
yeah,
they come from women at the age of enlightenment,
yeah,
after the Dark Ages. And the intellect of a person began to take prominence,
yeah,
in a society and in people's lives. And people were beginning to think that, hey, we can manage to do everything. Well, of course, I'm talking about the extreme of this.
I know, yeah, I get
thought.
It. We came to an age in which everybody thought that, all the women, I mean, they thought that they were consumers, and it was like a bingo moment for them. So they started to change their ideology about themselves and about their roles. And right at this moment, we have to go for a short break and then we'll be back. So usually the greatest changes in history happen with a moment that people will start to think deeply. And the same thing happened to women as well. And yes, you're listening to Muslim Lady. Sister Shamali is in here and I'm at your service. Well, this is Asma and we're talking about women and what happened for them to change their perspective about themselves and suddenly come into the society as one of the main ingredients.
I just want to introduce a book for you. The book that I'm using right now is Feminist Thought, A Comprehensive Introduction, published in 1989. It's done by Rosemary Tung. And she actually talks about the different figures and personalities in feminism and analyzes them and, you know, gives her own opinion on and her own understanding of all these,
yeah,
happenings. So we were saying previously that at the age of enlightenment, intellect and wisdom became something very prominent. And little by little, they were saying that, okay, whatever, the only one thing, the only character that distinguishes an animal from a human being is intellect. So, and so women are also humans.
Intellectual beings.
Exactly. Therefore, they're intellectual beings.
Yeah.
So if men and women have the potential to use ethics and intellect to the fullest, and flourish this potential in themselves, they need education.
Yeah.
Prior to that, education was something that was usually dedicated to boys and men, right?
Exactly.
But because of the conclusion that women are also as intellectual as boys and
as
men,
man, yeah.
So education was the right of women as well.
Mm-hmm.
An equal education. This is exactly when feminism began to emerge, and they were saying that, okay, the whole society, the whole world is dominated by men power, by masculine power, and we want equal rights. Why? Because we're as human as you are. We have as much intellect as you do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, but they began to say that, okay, so we will give you the right to education. But they were not satisfied. They were not happy enough. They said, after that, we want to have equal chance as you to work and to be responsible in the gains and loss of businesses,
yeah,
and everything that went on in the society.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
After the Industrial Revolution, again, because this patriarchal ideology is dominant, they thought that, okay, now, because, you know, different sort of diseases came in the way, so the number of the slaves who were men were reduced. Therefore, to make up for that, to compensate for that, they brought up women into industry by the slogans that, okay, you must have the same right as men do. Therefore, they brought women into the industrial background as well.
Exactly. That is one very important point that you mentioned, because, you know, what I'm saying is just sheds light on specific aspect of the historical look on women's education,
yeah,
occupation. There are so many other variables and aspects that play a role in this game. So what you mentioned is totally right. And to be honest, the capitalist forces that were, you know, emerging in the,
yeah,
societies, they wanted the production of more, they wanted more profit, and more profit entailed more and more production.
Exactly.
And more production entailed more and more consumption, right?
Yeah.
So, like, the disease of our age, which is consumption, has its roots at the same time that industrialism came into power, right?
Mm-hmm.
With capitalism.
Yeah.
So, women were very, very good individuals to persuade them, to make them believe, to make them decide that they need more and
exactly.
more. Exactly. Right?
The target of consumerism are mostly women.
Exactly. Because they're the ones who use makeup products.
Fashion.
Fashion industry.
Yeah.
Clothes, shoes, purses, bags, everything. Like, our grandmas, they had like a handful of dresses. Like maybe
exactly.
5-6 dresses for all their occasions, like very limited amount of
exactly, yeah,
clothes.
They were not that much into this fashion thing.
Not at all. And they themselves were the ones who stitched it, and like I remember
embroideries and
everything,
the things they did with their hands.
Exactly. And like, for example, our mothers, whenever like their parents made them a piece of clothes, the elder sister wore it, then the second one, then the third,
yeah,
one.
Yeah, it was passed down to the other generations.
Exactly.
As well.
This is the opposite of consumerism.
Exactly.
And so to have all this world of the capitalist world running, women had to come in the forefront.
Yeah, and that was the very beginning of their emergence as society. Of course, it's not bad to have women in society, but at the same time, as you are going to cover it, they targeted the house and the families, and this very, you know, the warm center of a home is a mother. So when you take her to the society, many things would change. And we cannot ignore the very fact that mothers are mostly excluded from the centers of the families. And that's not a good and very happy thing to happen. So thank you, sister.
Thank you.
I myself have enjoyed it very much. Still, going through this historical study of women, is a very interesting thing, because that would enlighten us more and more. We'd open, and it's the thing that would open up our eyes more and more and make us know the goals, the purposes, and the ways of this world. So thank you very much, and thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us until another session. I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges.